Getting you through the afternoon right here on 720 WGN. All right, let us talk to Alderman Brendan Riley from the Fighting 42nd Ward in Chicago, because there's a lot of stuff that is happening while we are in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis, and I want to start with that, but then there are other things that are happening, too, that we got to keep our eye on. Alderman, the first thing I would like to ask you is that every government, whether it's the federal government, state government, local governments, everybody's spending money they don't have on this crisis. I understand it. I get it. I totally understand. We must do this. But the question is, we were already like completely cash strapped. What are we going to do about that?
Well, a big chunk of this will be reimbursed through the federal stimulus and bailout packages. Exactly how much remains to be seen. So you're right. We are currently spending money generally that we don't have. But fortunately, the feds have something within their power that state and local governments don't, and that is they have the ability to print money. And they'll be doing a lot of that to inject a tremendous amount of money into local economies to account for these extraordinary expenses and also to try and provide stimulus to businesses and workers who are currently unemployed.
Right. I mean, that's the big problem in the city of Chicago, specifically in the restaurant industry and other businesses that will probably come back, you know, like a lot of the downtown high-rise buildings, you know, that are the office buildings that have white-collar jobs in them. Many of those jobs are going to return. But the question is, if you're a corner bar or you're a restaurant and all of a sudden you got to take 2 months off and you still owe the rent, what are you going to do? Some of these places are going to close.
That's right. And that's why there's an incredible amount of pressure and strain right now on the Small Business Administration and the grant and loan relief they're providing to small businesses. It's very difficult for folks to get through the process. There's an incredibly long queue to process all of those claims and requests and applications. And the concern is that there's going to be a tremendous amount of lag between the time folks have applied for the assistance and, you know, the time it actually shows up. And so I do know that the feds are doing what they can to throw more resources at, you know, online and on processing. But, I'm very concerned for small businesses. And a lot of the small businesses you talk about downtown are small businesses that are technically too big or bring in too much gross revenue a year to qualify for state and local relief. So really, their fate rests solely in the hands of the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and their program. So that's one that has to work, or there will be a lot of carnage in the private sector here.
Okay, so you got a lot of businesses in your downtown. That's where your ward is, downtown, and just a little bit of Streeterville. You got a lot of people in high rises who are residents. You got a lot of businesses in high rises. What are the biggest concerns that you're hearing from constituents?
Well, certainly it's. Public safety is a priority. Wanting to understand the rules of the road, understanding, you know, the nuances between federal guidance versus the governor and mayor's executive orders, getting some feedback about what a drag it is to have to obey a stay-at-home order and not be able to go out and socialize and see friends and frequent businesses. And I just try and politely remind folks that this is a very unique situation. It's a pandemic, and there's no easy way to manage it. And we're going to have to take some of this, you know, short-term inconvenience and pain because we've got thousands of people who are dying right now. So, we're getting some complaints about having to sacrifice liberties. But I advise those people to think about the frontline workers in our hospitals and in fire and police who are literally risking their lives every day.
Yeah. Is there a, we should mention at this moment, too, since you brought it up, we lost another firefighter today who was assigned at Midway to COVID-19, a 55-year-old guy, had been on the job since 1987, I believe it was, and a city plumber also lost his life today. So, I mean, these are people who have to be out and doing their jobs. You know, there's just no two ways about it. And that's the thing. You stop, and I think most of us just marvel at folks that are not making a whole lot of money and they are the ones who have to be out there. They have to be out there to get paid, first of all, but then they also have to be out there because they are essential to making sure that we get fed, the truck drivers, the people who are working, the unsung heroes who are working at the Jewel and Mariano's and Whole Foods and all the rest of the grocery stores that are staying open, that are there in the face of all this. And when you have, even though they're trying to do that social distancing thing, it's probably still not enough, right? It's pretty scary.
No, it's not enough. But, you know, again, I think that's important for people to remember when they're talking about what a drag stay-at-home orders are. Because the stay-at-home orders do protect our first responders and frontline workers. They reduce the burden on our healthcare system, and we don't want that to get overburdened because that starts to impact folks whether you have COVID or not. Yeah, social distancing is not the absolute solution. We need heavy duty testing, far more than has been administered so far. We need to get antibody tests rolled out that are accurate and predictable. Those are the next two important phases that we need to really prioritize in order to get Illinois and Chicago back to work, literally. I'm hoping that's where the next tranche of resources come is for testing.
Can you hold on for 1 second? Because I want to talk about when you think we are going to start getting back to work here in the city. Because the city, it will probably be, as most cities will be, maybe lagging behind some of the smaller communities in terms of getting the businesses back up and going. I want to talk about that with Alderman Brendan Riley from the Fighting 42nd Ward here in Chicago. But first, people have decided that they no longer have to or want to obey the traffic laws. Have you noticed that?
I've witnessed some of that myself, and it's very frustrating. I've also seen, though, an increase in traffic enforcement stops. I've actually seen a fair number of cars pulled over on the curb with blues flashing. So, just because there's no traffic and no people walking around, people are taking license, I guess.
It's like all those movies where, you know, they're the last people on Earth and people are just driving like they are the last people on Earth. There are other people still on Earth. I'd like to point that out.
Yeah. Welcome to the Thunderdome. Yeah, right.
I know. It does feel a little like that. I mean, if we don't laugh at it, we will cry at it. So I think that we will tell stories about this forever and ever and ever and ever. It's the most monumental incident of our lives. And also, before we get to the future here, masks. Some other cities are doing this, or they're going to make wearing a mask in public mandatory. Smaller cities are doing this. Do you see that happening in Chicago?
I could see a time where that is a directive. Look, you know, the masks aren't gonna cure the disease or prevent the spread of the virus entirely, but it'll certainly help a lot. That plus social distancing, as we're working towards a vaccine, as we're working on testing and tracking, it's one more tool in the toolbox. So I don't know that the mayor will mandate it, but I think, you know, the public health professionals are all saying it certainly doesn't hurt. So I've been sending my constituents how-to YouTube videos on how to make your own mask.
Oh, have you done it? Have you made your own?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's actually super easy. It takes like 2 minutes, and all you need are a couple rubber bands and a thick piece of cloth. So it's very, very doable. Even I can do it.
I'm making it out of old underwear because it's got the elastic. So I'm just walking around with briefs on my face, and I don't know if that's a good look or not. All right, how are we going to get out of this mess? I mean, obviously, let's not even worry about government right now because, as you pointed out, the government's going to start printing money, and they'll figure that out, and that's really not a problem. But let's start with the hospitality business. Let's start with hotels and restaurants and bars, which the last. We all like to frequent. What happens there? What can the city do to help? What can the citizenry do to help?
Well, you know, for now, in the interim, for bars and restaurants, the best thing you can do is order food directly from those bars and restaurants. I would encourage you to avoid the apps because they take huge fees from the restaurants, and at a time where their margins are decimated, it's really good to take your business directly to that business and not through a third party. So that's what you can do right now. But as far as, you know, when can we open things back up, that's to be dictated by data. And, you know, I think the mayor had a press conference this afternoon showing that, you know, these painful things we've been going through as far as social distancing and stay at home are having an impact. You know, not long ago, we were at doubling of cases of COVID in a 2-day period. Now we're down to 12 days before it doubles.
Yeah, that's a gigantic number. That's great.
It's still an alarming rate, by the way. But that shows that we have been impacting the curve. But I think that, you know, the mayor and her advisors aren't going to be able to really be comfortable talking about reopening businesses fulsome until we see that curve actually on a downward trajectory. Will there be some possible interim measures, like allowing for some spacing and distancing in certain types of businesses? That's a possibility, but I don't think someone's going to get up one morning and flip a circuit breaker and suddenly every single business in every single town across the country gets to reopen. It's going to be a gradual thing, and again, data is really hopefully going to be leading that decision making.
Yeah, for sure. I had heard that rumor that one of the first things that they were going to do, that the government was going to ask these restaurateurs to do, is to take out half the tables so that people are further away from each other. I don't know how reasonable that is. Have you heard that? Is that a serious consideration?
That is something that I've heard about, and I understand that other municipalities in other countries are trying that. I think that European countries have gotten comfortable with that idea, so they'll probably be our test cases for us. But I can tell you, whether you're in federal government or city council, everyone wants to get back to normal as soon as humanly possible, and everyone wants to get people back to work. But we have to do it in a smart way so that we don't have to shut everything back down for another 3 or 4 months. So it's you know, we're still learning about the virus itself, and we still need some more data to determine which of these approaches are working and which aren't. So, you know, I think people need to keep patient and continue to do what they've been doing, because it's obviously helping with the curve and containing the virus. And we need science to catch up with a vaccine and better, more reliable tests. I think that's really the recipe for success. So,
and that could be a longer throw than we want it to be. Alderman Riley, you have the great honor and burden to represent most of North Michigan Avenue in your ward.
Yeah.
And the retailers are really hurting. Retail sales plummeted 9% in March, just in that 1 month alone. And, you know, you stop and you think about that. So who's making up the difference? You're thinking, well, why didn't it go down 80%? Well, that's because Amazon is still out there selling, and you know, other places, essential places, hardware stores and things like that are open. But think about Michigan Avenue. It's boarded up. I mean, it is so disturbing to see plywood, you know, and these high-end shops.
Yeah, it is difficult to see. And again, no one wants to get these folks open faster than I do. But this is where we're at right now. We are not in normal. These are very unique and special circumstances.
Yeah, well, no, so, for sure. Have you heard from those retailers about, you know, are they asking for guidance? Do they have plans themselves? Do they have ideas for how they can safely start to open once these numbers recede?
We haven't really started those conversations yet, and that will be one that I know Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot will be convening those conversations sooner than later. But no, I've not had a chance to, you know, in one fell swoop, have a conversation with the Mag Mile folks. I am speaking with business owners day to day. Each, you know, are within their own circumstances. Some folks have more cash reserves than others. Some are international brands. Others are local. So each is in a slightly different set of circumstances. Each has a slightly different landlord with a certain set of expectations or understanding. So,
like getting paid, you know, I think most of them do have that. Alderman Riley, Fighting 42nd, thank you so much for being with us.